New York, this is Democracy Now.
Given what you've said about Gaza, did the U.S. send troops to help secure the security vacuum?
As far as Gaza is concerned, we'll do what is necessary. If it's necessary, we'll do that.
In a stunning announcement, President Trump has called for the United States to take over Gaza and displace the entire Palestinian population in order to turn Gaza into the, quote, Riviera of the Middle East. Trump's call for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza came while meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. He was invited there despite an arrest warrant for him issued by the International Criminal Court for war crimes and crimes against humanity. We'll get the latest. Then we look at the fight against Trump's escalating attacks on the trans community.
Since January 20th, it has been one attack after another from the Trump administration on transgender people across all facets of life. Yesterday, the ACLU and Lambda Legal took action, filing a lawsuit challenging the president's executive order seeking to ban health care nationwide for trans people under 19. We are fighting back with everything we have.
We'll speak to Chase Stranger of the ACLU, which is suing the Trump administration. And we'll talk to a New York doctor who says he's willing to go to jail to continue providing health care to transgender youth. And we'll speak to the former top lawyer at the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She was fired last week as part of Trump's purge of federal workers. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump has called for the ethnic cleansing of the Gaza Strip's more than 2 million Palestinians and their permanent displacement to Jordan, Egypt, or other countries, and for the United States to take ownership of Gaza. Trump's extraordinary comments came as he welcomed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House to discuss plans for Gaza following Israel's 15-month war on the territory, which international law experts have said amounts to genocide.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site. Level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
Trump said he'd lifted a pause on the supply of U.S.-made 2,000-pound bombs to Israel imposed under the Biden administration. And Trump refused to rule out sending U.S. troops to Gaza.
I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
Ahead of his White House meeting, Prime Minister Netanyahu met with U.S. evangelical leaders, including former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, Trump's nominee for U.S. ambassador to Israel. At least one Democratic senator, Pennsylvania's John Fetterman, said Tuesday he'll support a potential U.S. occupation of the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, human rights groups have condemned the U.S. for failing to serve an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Netanyahu issued by the International Criminal Court for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has rejected Trump's proposal to take over the Gaza Strip, calling the proposal a serious violation of international law and peace and stability in the region, unquote. Hamas condemned Trump's ideas as a recipe for creating chaos and tension, unquote. The leaders of Egypt and Jordan flatly rejected the idea, as did Saudi Arabia, which said it would not establish ties to Israel without the creation of a Palestinian state. The vast majority of Gaza's residents have also rejected the plan. This is Rafida Akhil, a displaced Palestinian in Khan Yunis.
We completely refuse to be displaced from Palestine. Palestine is our land, our country, the land of our ancestors, and the land of our children, God willing. We reject this idea. I call on any Arab or foreign country to receive any Palestinian citizen. This is our land, and we are staying here, and we will remain here, God willing.
In more news from Gaza, the beloved poet, academic, and activist Rafat Al-Arir has finally been laid to rest more than a year after he was killed in an Israeli strike, along with his sister, brother, and four nephews. His family recovered their remains after a neighbor buried them in a yard at the site of the Israeli attack. Al-Arir was buried in a cemetery in Gaza City's Sujayir neighborhood, where Al-Arir was born. President Trump has ordered nearly the entire staff of the U.S. Agency for International Development to be placed on administrative leave beginning Friday, and ordered thousands of personnel working overseas to return to the U.S. The order impacts some 10,000 USAID workers around the world. Democratic lawmakers have called it an illegal move to shutter an aid agency that was created through an act of Congress. Meanwhile, an executive order signed by President Trump Tuesday orders the U.S. to withdraw from the United Nations Human Rights Council and end U.S. support for UNRWA, the U.N. Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Trump also ordered a review of the U.N.'s cultural agency, UNESCO. This follows Trump's January 24th decision to halt billions of dollars of U.N. funding pending a 90-day review. Among the many casualties is the Sexual Reproductive Health Agency, the UN Population Fund. P.O. Smith is the agency's Asia-Pacific director.
I'm deeply concerned that millions of women and girls now face life-threatening risks due to the lack of access to UNFPA's crucial services across Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. Take the example of Afghanistan. Between 2025 and 2028, we estimate that the absence of U.S. support will result in 1,200 additional maternal deaths and 109,000 additional unintended pregnancies.
The CIA has offered its employees 8 months' salary and benefits in exchange for early retirement, becoming the first U.S. intelligence agency to offer buyouts to the entire staff. This comes after the White House said at least 20,000 civilian U.S. government workers, or about 1% of the federal workforce, have accepted a buyout offer advanced by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. On Monday, unions representing civilian government workers sued the U.S. Treasury and Secretary Scott Bessent, alleging the department illegally granted Elon Musk and his DOGE associates access to the personal information of millions of people across the U.S., including Social Security numbers, tax returns, home addresses, phone numbers, bank account information, and more. Separately, Wired magazine reported federal workers are seeking a temporary restraining order as part of a class action lawsuit accusing a group of Elon Musk's young associates of operating an illegally connected server from the fifth floor of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management's headquarters in Washington, D.C. The motion contends Musk's moves not only violate federal law, but are potentially exposing vast amounts of government workers' personal information to hostile foreign adversaries through unencrypted email. On Tuesday, Democratic lawmakers joined hundreds of protesters outside the Treasury Department to denounce Elon Musk's what they called hostile takeover of the federal civilian bureaucracy. The lawmakers were barred from entering the Treasury building. This is Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley.
There's a sign back there that says DOGE actually means dangerous oligarchs grab everything. Yeah. Well, ain't that the truth? I am so tired of these billionaire boys and their grubby little hands grabbing at everything. Hands off our bodies. Hands off our data. Hands off our tax refunds. Hands off our Social Security checks. Hands off our Constitution. Hands off our democracy. Hands off.
In Ukraine, a Russian strike on the town of Izium Tuesday killed five civilians, including a pregnant teenager. At least 55 others were wounded in the attack, which partially destroyed Izium City Council building. Elsewhere, Russian shelling killed two civilians in southern Ukraine, and a Ukrainian drone attack set a Russian oil depot near the Black Sea on fire. On Tuesday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he's open to having U.S. companies invest in Ukraine's rare earth metals industry, after President Trump said military aid should be tied to securing the rights of minerals needed for U.S. high-tech and weapons industries. Trump made the remarks Monday.
We're telling Ukraine they have very valuable rare earth. We want what we put up to go in terms of a guarantee. We want a guarantee. We're handing them money hand over fist.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz sharply criticized Trump's proposed quid pro quo with Zelensky as, quote, very selfish, very self-centered, unquote. The Senate's approved Pam Bondi to become U.S. Attorney General, handing control of the Justice Department to a Trump loyalist who's refused to say whether Trump definitively lost the 2020 election. Democrats fear Bondi will weaponize the Justice Department to seek vengeance against Trump's political foes. Bondi's confirmation comes after Trump purged dozens of career prosecutors and FBI agents who worked on two criminal cases against Trump. The mishandling of classified documents by Trump and his associates at Mar-a-Lago and the January 6th Capitol insurrection. On Tuesday, two separate groups of FBI agents filed lawsuits seeking to block the public release of the names of thousands of Justice Department workers who worked on those criminal investigations. In related news, a historic black church in Washington, D.C. that was vandalized in December of 2020 by members of the Proud Boys has been granted control over the far-right group's trademark name. The landmark ruling means the Black Metropolitan AME Church is entitled to proceeds from sales of the Proud Boys merchandise and membership dues. The group would also have to get permission from the church and federal court to sell anything with its name and insignia. The victory comes after the Proud Boys failed to pay nearly $3 million in punitive damages to the church for burning its Black Lives Matter sign after attending a Trump rally. The ACLU has filed a lawsuit challenging Trump's executive order banning medical care for transgender people under the age of 19. The order directs federal agencies to withhold funds from medical providers and institutions that offer life-saving, gender-affirming medical treatments. Several hospitals nationwide have already suspended the care. We'll have more on this story after headlines with ACLU's Chase Strangio and a New York doctor who says he's willing to go to jail to continue providing health care to transgender youth. The Senate Finance Committee has advanced Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, a sprawling federal bureaucracy with 80,000 workers and a $1.6 trillion budget. Senators voted 14-13 along party lines to recommend RFK Jr.'s confirmation in the full Senate, despite his long history of promoting public health conspiracy theories and anti-vaccine disinformation. Among Republicans voting yes was Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, a medical doctor who spent decades promoting vaccinations for children. Meanwhile, the Senate Intelligence Committee has advanced the nomination of Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence on a party-line vote of 9-8, with all the committee's Republicans in support. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, UN officials report hundreds of women were raped and burned to death as M23 seized Goma, triggering chaos in the eastern city. The gruesome attacks occurred during a jailbreak in which thousands of men were able to escape the prison while the women's wing was set on fire. Restrictions imposed on M23 forces have blocked UN peacekeepers from reaching the prison to investigate. And in the Philippines, Vice President Sara Duterte has been impeached by House lawmakers and faces what could be removal from office later this year. Duterte has been accused of corruption and misusing millions of dollars in public funds and faced widespread backlash after she threatened to have Filipino President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., his wife, and the Filipino House Speaker assassinated. The Philippine Senate will hold its impeachment trial against Sara Duterte when Congress reconvenes in June. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
In a stunning announcement, President Trump has called for the United States to take over Gaza and displace the entire Palestinian population in order to turn Gaza into what he called the, quote, Riviera of the Middle East. Trump's plan for ethnic cleansing has been widely condemned across the globe. Trump outlined his plan Tuesday in a joint news conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. In November, the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for Netanyahu for committing war crimes and crimes against humanity. This is part of what Trump said on Tuesday.
The only reason the Palestinians want to go back to Gaza is they have no alternative. It's right now a demolition site. This is just a demolition site. Virtually every building is down. They're living under fallen concrete that's very dangerous and very precarious. They instead can occupy all of a beautiful area with homes and safety, and they can live out their lives in peace and harmony instead of having to go back and do it again. The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
Trump went on to describe his vision of a U.S.-controlled Gaza that had been cleared of Palestinians.
We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
During his White House press conference, Trump was questioned about the role of the U.S. military in his plan to take control of Gaza and force out the Palestinian population.
Given what you've said about Gaza, did the U.S. send troops to help secure the security vacuum?
As far as Gaza is concerned, we'll do what is necessary. If it's necessary, we'll do that. We're going to take over that piece. We're going to develop it, create thousands and thousands of jobs, and it'll be something that the entire Middle East can be very proud of.
Trump's plan quickly drew condemnation at home and abroad. Saudi Arabia reiterated it will not establish ties with Israel without the creation of a Palestinian state. Arab leaders have already refused calls to take in Palestinians forcibly removed from Gaza. Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territory, has said Trump's plan is unlawful, immoral, and completely irresponsible. She said, quote, it's incitement to commit forced displacement, which is an international crime, unquote. In Gaza, Palestinians also rejected Trump's plan. This is Yasser Safi speaking, Khan Yunis.
We got out of wreckage, destruction, and a war of attrition, a genocide in which we don't know when death will come to us from all directions. But we stayed, held on, and remained until the last breath. This president, who is called Donald Trump, comes to us with a new method to displace us from our country where we are rooted. This is our land. We will not get out of it. If you refuse that there would be rebuilding, life, or future, and you come up with another idea in which Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, or others call for us to get displaced. This is absolutely refused. Even if you fight us with our food or our rebuilding, and you can see this wreckage here, here we set up a tent on the rubble.
We're joined now by two guests. Daniel Levy is president of the U.S. Middle East Project, a former Israeli peace negotiator under two Israeli prime ministers, Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin. He's joining us from London. And in Washington, D.C., we're joined by Youssef Munayir. He is a Palestinian-American analyst, the head of the Palestine-Israel program at Arab Center, Washington, D.C. Youssef, we're beginning with you. Your response to President Trump's proposal for the U.S. to occupy, rather, to own Gaza.
Right. Thank you, Amy. Well, look, we saw yesterday a convicted felon in the White House meeting with a indicted war criminal in Benjamin Netanyahu. And I don't think we should be surprised that the outcome is yet another conspiracy to commit further crimes. In this case, with the forced displacement, ethnic cleansing, and now apparently an American project of attempting to overtake and annex the Gaza Strip. It's important, too, to keep in mind that this is just the latest in a series of territories that are not American that this president seems to want to take over after Greenland and the Panama Canal and Canada and whatever else. What we are witnessing here is not diplomacy, but criminality by a couple of mafiosos who think this is how you do business. They have a complete disregard for law. They have a complete disregard for rights. And their vision for the world is one in which power is all that matters. And they seek to use the power they have to take more of what belongs to other people. This is a world of chaos and danger, which we learned the very steep price and consequences of in the previous century. And I can guarantee you that Palestinians will be the first to reject this vision for the world, along with much of the region and the international community as well.
Yeah, and Yusuf, about the rest of the region, clearly the masses of the people in many of the countries of the Middle East support the Palestinians, but the governments of many of these states have, to say the least, been equivocal or AWOL in terms of confronting Israel. What's your sense of the impact that this kind of announcement, this kind of policy by the United States might have on the governments of the region?
I think one thing we have to remember is from the perspective of the region, whether it is at the level of the public or at the level of governments, one thing that is clear to everybody is that nothing has been more destabilizing for the region over the last eight decades than the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by Israel. And nobody is at any level is going to sign up for a continuation of that. It's not just ethically and morally repugnant. It's also destabilizing and contrary to the national interests of everyone in the region. So I don't think it's something that anyone is going to voluntarily cooperate with. And mind you, this is a region that has been suffering from what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians for a very long time, much longer than any presidential term and much longer than Donald Trump will be around. And they're going to weigh the consequences of such a proposal through the lens of a much longer term than just the few years that Donald Trump is going to be with us.
And Daniel Levy, your response to this extraordinary announcement of Donald Trump that the United States intends to own Gaza?
I look at that, and I looked at the images of that sickening press conference, and you could not draw a starker contrast than the one between the words of those two leaders, one, as Yusuf said, a felon, another with an arrest warrant for war crimes. Surprise, surprise, two settler colonial leaders planning the renewed attempt at ethnically cleansing an indigenous population. But you could not draw a sharper contrast between those words and the realities in Gaza of the resilience of the Palestinian people, which we have all been witness to amidst all the devastation and killing. Those scenes, is even aware that hundreds of thousands of people have just picked up whatever of their belongings they have and gone back to reconstruct lives in that rubble? So I'm tempted to say, one, that you know, maybe we seem to take some solace from this being so not serious, I would argue, so not implementable a plan. I actually worried that they would come out with something yesterday that could gain traction, could have legs. I don't think that applies to this plan. I don't see how they do it with the realities of Palestinians, with the realities in the region. I'm sure they have whiplash in the DOD, in the US military. Wait, sir, are we supposed to be planning for the invasion of Greenland, the Panama Canal, or Gaza? And even Peter Hezget's DOD is going to struggle with all of that. And therefore, I look at this and I say, yes, dangerous. Dangerous because of the fertile environment on which it falls inside Israel, a country that, if you see the statements of political leaders, including from the so-called opposition, giddy with excitement, a country that has undertaken these genocidal actions, that does actually have those plans and those intentions to make this real. But perhaps Israel's greatest Achilles heel would be if it actually falls for the idea that America is all powerful. And in a day when it's very hard to take a deep breath and count to 10, I would urge people to remind themselves of all those other great plans to shape and fashion and design the Middle East region, West Asia, in America's image. And how did those end up? And what did that do for America? Because this does nothing to serve American interests whatsoever.
I want to remind people what Trump's son-in-law, former advisor Jared Kushner, said about Gaza containing very valuable waterfront property last year.
In Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up, you know, livelihoods.
So that was Jared Kushner last year. Daniel Levy, I wanted to ask you, if, in fact, Trump has put forward several times that Jordan, that Egypt should take the entire Palestinian population, and he hasn't gotten much traction. So he takes it a step further, and he says not only should they be displaced, but we will occupy or we will own Gaza. And so then it looks like he's compromising. Well, maybe the U.S. troops don't move in, but we won't move in if you, Egypt, if you, Saudi Arabia, and you, Jordan, take the Palestinian population. Is this part of a strategy? He did not say this off the cuff. I want to be very clear about this for people listening on the radio. In fact, he is looking down, reading his notes.
Yes.
And when Netanyahu responds, he sounds like he's off the cuff saying, you know, this is Trump. But he is clearly reading his response. And does this then satisfy the far right in Israel, if Netanyahu isn't that, to keep his coalition together? Because then there's something that would allow them to move into the second phase of the ceasefire.
Very important. Indeed, much of the Israeli media is running with the story that these plans were presented by Netanyahu, by his right-hand henchman, Minister Ron Dermer, who used to be ambassador in the U.S. and American Miami Republican earlier in life, that they cooked this up. And I think Netanyahu comes away with a victory image in Washington, D.C., the very victory image that he has been denied in Palestine, in Gaza, as we see that this idea of a total victory, the emaciation, destruction of Hamas not happening. The Palestinians giving up, not happening. So he has a win in Washington. The slight problem for Israel is that Israel is geographically not the 51st state of the USA. So when he goes home to a region that has been watching on its social media feeds the self-incriminating postings of Israelis